George Eliot Clark, it is indeed a great pleasure to have you with me once again.
Mark, it's my pleasure to be with you again.
You've been a busy man. You've just got a new appointment after having a very substantial appointment in Toronto. You are now the Parliamentary Poet Laureate. What does that entail?
It means I get to write more poetry for, I would like to think of as being perhaps more significant occasions or occasions of state, trying to represent the general feelings and philosophies of Canadians in a nonpartisan fashion to parliamentarians and from Parliament itself back to the people. And at the same time, I'm also supposed to be advising the Librarian of Parliament on the collection of books and manuscripts and documents and Hansard and recordings and so on that are in the collection or perhaps are not in the collection.
It sounds like a daunting task to make political events interesting and poetic, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it could be, except that, as I like to say, it's probably the case that parliamentarians find it relatively easy to produce news stories that are inspirational or perhaps potentially controversial.
Now, another aspect of your very busy life is your new novel, The Motorcyclist. I understand this is loosely based, anyway, on the life of your father. How loosely based is it on your father?
Well, it's loosely based. I need to say that so I don't get in trouble with my other relatives. but to make a long story short, he passed away in 2005, August 2005, and he left me one item, his diary from 1959. And what was important about that is that that was the year I was conceived. But that was also the year that he was still very much a motorcyclist and very dashing, handsome, suave, well-spoken, silver tongue, and was very interested in courting as many potential wives as possible.
How well did you know him?
Well, he raised me. I grew up with him through his tutelage and so on until my parents were divorced, unfortunately, which was happened when I was 14, 1974. So certainly for the first 14 years of my life, I was very much under his sway and influence and pedagogical interests and experiments, for that matter, because my dad was someone who was very wide-ranging in his interests, and he had a particular interest, I think, in trying to raise my brothers, my two brothers and I, differently.
He didn't want to be locked into sort of a cliche or predestined type of life for you guys.
No way. He wanted us to be very much individuals, able to take care of ourselves, able to earn a living, and be good, productive citizens. But really, he put a great emphasis on our being individuals, not captives to any stereotypes about young black men.
And yet, he himself was in a, shall we say, stereotypical type of job, though, wasn't he?
He was. He worked for the railway, which, of course, is a great employer of many black men all across the country, usually as porters. He was not a porter. He was someone who worked a relatively humble job, carting linen, laundered linen to and from, or laundered linen to overnight trains, sleeping cars on overnight trains between Halifax and Montreal, and removing the soiled laundry from those trains. At the same time, he was also responsible for transporting luggage to and from the Ocean Limited, which was the main train, if I remember right, serving or running the line between Montreal and Halifax.
What did you learn from reading his diary about the life of a young black man in Canada in the 50s?
He was trying very hard not to be trapped by any stereotype. And I'll switch over from talking about my father to my protagonist, Carl A. Black. Carl resents stereotypes, wants to avoid them. He wants to be able to have relationships with any woman who would be interested in conversing with him, enjoying his music, which, and his preference is in fact classical music and Broadway show tunes. Who might admire his motorcycle, his big purple BMW that he calls Elizabeth II. and basically enjoying the more adventurous existence of and bohemian existence of a motorcyclist who's also able to paint, considers himself to be a bit of an artist, and is not yet interested in settling down into a middle class, conventional, bourgeois existence.
But this would be a new age man well in advance of his time, and certainly for a black man of that time, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. I think the only other black men who could be put on a par with Carl would be those who were jazz musicians or blues musicians or maybe other kinds of artists who, of course, would have a peripatetic lifestyle, an unconventional lifestyle, might not be married, might not have children, and certainly are generally not working 9-to-5 jobs. Carl does have a 9-to-5 job, which does make him a bit more tied down and a bit more like other black men. But except for that, except for his employment, his aspirations are to be unconventional, incongruous, not the average, and certainly not any kind of stereotype.
But how can he break out of that? I mean, on the one hand, he has his outside of work life in which he pretends, if nothing else, to be this new age person. And in his working life, he is really kind of stuck in the reality of the time.
Yeah, that's it. You hit the crisis right on the head. That is his problem. That is his dilemma. And so in some ways, his pursuits are meant to be escapes, the motorcycling, the painting. He reads a lot of fiction. He reads his Ian Fleming, his James Bond novels, escapism. He likes going to the movies. And he likes dating. He likes escorting around and experimenting with various young ladies. And you could look at all of these activities as basically his attempts to escape the imposition of the railway, in quotation marks, Negro worker existence that is laid out for him, which again he resents and doesn't want. So all these other activities are escapes, but sooner or later, he is going to have to make a choice. So that's the central thrust or concern of the novel is in what way will he be influenced? In what direction will he be influenced to move? Will he become more bohemian, move to New York, become an artist on Broadway, or will he remain in the Maritimes and in Halifax and become settled in a family man? These are the questions that are going to confront him in the course of the novel.
When you write a book like this, which is kind of loosely based on your own personal life in a way, how much do you learn about yourself in this or your father?
Well, easy. The diary showed me someone, my father, and of course I'm giving these characteristics to my protagonist, Carl, who was unsure of himself, uncertain, full of self-doubt. And I have to say that in the 14 years where my father was directly raising me, I never had the impression that he did not know what his mind was about. He was someone who was very stubborn. I'm not voicing here any particular strong belief in astrology, but I will just say for the record that his sign was Taurus. And I'm not saying he took it very seriously either, but he could be bullheaded. He could be very, very much a Taurus, a Taurian, and very decided in his opinions and so on. But the diary revealed to me someone who was very vulnerable and really unsure, who really wanted to be liked and wanted to do what could be best for himself and any potential family he could have. And I've tried to give those same characteristics to Carl. So it made me, the diary helped me understand my father better and therefore helped me understand myself better.
But isn't that like a lot of men, whether in the past or present, is you present a face to the world, but inside you might be full of your own self-doubt?
I'd like to think that this novel is very universal, and I think it's very universal in terms of parents and children anyway. Probably most of us go through life carrying out, in a sense, the whatever agenda it was that was imparted to us in their genes or in their teachings of us in terms of our parents instructing us in how we should comport ourselves in our lives. And at the same time, we are struggling to establish our own identities. And whether we know it or not and whether we like it or not, I'm going to argue, without having any courses in psychology to back it up, that we'll probably end up being a mixture of whatever it is our parents wanted us to be or thought we might become, and then whatever individual personal idiosyncrasies we might add to that mix. So we all end up being portraits, or maybe I should say kaleidoscopic portraits of our parents as well as our own self-made identities.
Given the life you understand from your father's diary and the character you've created for Carl in this period, and your own personal experience growing up in Eastern Canada, how would you say the conditions are different from his growing up to your growing up and your experience today?
Well, from my growing up to, I think that for young black men today, we have a lot more role models, a lot more from diverse walks of life. Everyone from President Barack Obama of the United States to various professors and writers. Lawrence Hill comes to mind. Not to mention, of course, the athletes, the great athletes and artists, musical artists, and so on, and politicians, as well as greater knowledge of historical achievers who we may look to for inspiration and a sense of guidance, and again, simply as role models. At the same time, I still think there's a tendency to try to, presume that all black people or all black men or all young black men probably suit a particular stereotype that may be unhealthy or may be thought of as being suspect, and as opposed to taking us all on our individual terms as being most likely very productive and enlightened and helpful members of the society, as opposed to presuming the worst based, again, on stereotypes that go all the way back to slavery. And even though emancipation and abolition of slavery happened in the last 2 centuries ago, back to the 19th century, beyond the 20th, but back to the 19th, some of those attitudes, unfortunately, I think, still persist that try to or tend to relegate especially young black men and young black women into stereotypical roles associated with being marginalized, alienated, underclass, bluesy, dispirited, brokenhearted, and so disheartened that there's no way for them to contribute properly to their own advancement and to the advancement of society on a basis of equality. So I believe still a struggle continues, but I hope that the story of Carl might be useful for everyone to think about those formative years of your late teens into your early 20s, or even mid-20s, setting forth goals and a structure and ideals and dreams for your life that will uplift you beyond any kind of containment strategy of stereotype, because that's really what a stereotype is. It's a containment strategy. It's a way to hold you back and hold you down, because stereotypes are not meant to be helpful to you. They're meant to be helpful to the people who hold them.
George Eliot Clark, always most interesting, and I thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Mark. Best wishes.